IVM.
BQ Big Decisions, the Bloomberg Quint podcast that helps you make the right financial choices. So you finally started that SIP, or maybe you haven't yet, but you've certainly heard the ads, haven't you? Mutual funds sahi hai. Or maybe you've had your friends and colleagues guilting you about the fact that you haven't made any investments. But have you thought about why? Why are you investing? What is that money for? If you can't think of anything major that you need money for, you may as well spend it on a holiday to Goa or Bali. This is BQ Big Decisions, and I'm Alex Matthew. On today's podcast, we'll be taking you through goal-based investing and why that's the only sort of investing that you should be doing. To talk about it, I have with me SEBI-registered investment advisor, Arvind Rao. Thanks so much for joining us, Arvind.
My pleasure, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm glad that we're talking about this because I think this is very, very important when we're talking about investing. Sure, you have a lot of people come and tell you, you know, you should be investing if you're not.
Right.
And giving you advice as to what sort of products to buy.
Right.
But all of that is contingent about what you need the money for, the goal that you have, right?
Absolutely, Alex. Let me actually share with you a general example that we share with people who come up with this question of, why are you talking to me about goal-based investing? So let's visualize that your money is like your car. Now, when you start your career, you buy a car. Likewise, you start earning money.
Right.
Right. But does your car on its own take you anywhere? The answer is no. You need to get into it and drive it, right?
Yeah.
Likewise, when you have money on its own is not going to do anything. You have to guide the money in terms of what it has to do.
Hmm.
Now, when you sit in your car and you want to go somewhere, you either know the way, or if you want to know how much time it is going to take for you to reach there,
right,
you'll probably open your GPS,
yeah,
and put the destination, right?
Yeah.
And when you do that, you get the time and the distance that you require to travel.
Correct.
That is what you call it as the map.
So you know how much fuel to put, you know how to plan your stops,
yes,
all of that.
Yes. Yeah. Likewise, if you don't have a goal and you tell your money that I want you to grow, how is it supposed to know how much to grow and how much time are you giving it if it doesn't know where it needs to go?
Yeah.
That is exactly what is goal-based investing, where you define this is what I need to achieve in this much amount of time, and then you set the targets for your money.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's anything that you would need money for. It can be a trip abroad. It can be recurring trips abroad, vacation money.
Mm-hmm.
It can be education money for your kid. It can be money set aside for your own wedding, for your retirement. It can be anything under the sun that you need money for, right?
Absolutely. I would say it even sometimes breaks down to paying your annual property tax. If it's like a sizable amount and you don't want to feel the pinch of paying it in one go, just break it up into months and save it up.
Okay, so that's going into tremendous detail, right?
Yeah.
But of course, this is contingent on actually the first conversation that we had on BQ Big Decisions, which was getting a handle on your expenses. So knowing how much you spend.
Yes.
And therefore knowing how much that you can save. So that, of course, is the first step. If you haven't listened to that conversation yet, I strongly recommend that you consider doing so. But we were talking about goals, right?
Yeah.
How do you identify what your own goals are? Is it something as simple as sitting down with a notepad and a pen and just jotting them down?
Absolutely. Let me help here. We generally tell people who are clueless about what my goals are that divide your goals into three categories. Let's call them as responsibilities,
right,
your needs, and your aspirations.
Okay.
So we abbreviate it as a RAN.
Okay.
So once you say, what are your responsibilities? So it depends on what life stage you are in. So if you are a typical married family and you have kids,
right,
then your responsibility is to get them educated.
Correct.
You may or may not feel responsible to get them married. That's a separate thing. Likewise, what are your needs? My needs could be like having my own home.
Right.
Or maybe retiring comfortably.
Okay.
Ensuring that my standard of living is maintained in the coming years.
Mm-hmm.
What could be your aspirations? Now, holiday is something that everybody requires, correct?
Right.
But holiday could be like a Matheran, or it could be like a Mauritius.
Exactly. Like I mentioned right at the start, it can be Goa or it can be Bali.
Absolutely. Right. So depending upon if it's a Goa, it may be a holiday. But if it's a Bali, it could be an aspirational holiday.
Right.
So you set out your goals in these categories and that becomes your start.
Okay. All right. But there are some goals that are absolutely non-negotiable.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, for example, I would think that you have a choice between whether or not you want to rent or buy a house.
Yes.
But you don't have a choice about how much money you need to retire.
Yes. Yes. Because you don't have a choice whether you should retire or not. You have to.
Yeah, at some point you have to stop work.
Yes.
And therefore you need some amount of money unless you have some inheritance that you're getting or you find out about some uncle that you never knew about.
I wish I had one like that. But yes, definitely this is something totally non-negotiable.
Okay. So what according to you are the goals that are absolutely non-negotiable that somebody can put in that list that we were talking about on a notepad right on the top? Mm-hmm. And therefore rank it down. Those few goals as a planner that you would recommend are absolutely non-negotiable.
Yes, I think step one is what I would put is if you have kids, giving them commensurate education is the step one, which is totally non-negotiable. Second is your own retirement. Third, what I would put is setting up a medical fund for your own self in retirement, because I think the way things are as of now, medical advancements is definitely helpful to elongate life. And as it is said today, one of the biggest risk in retirement is outliving one's own expectation.
Correct.
So if you have to mitigate that risk, what you require is a decent medical corpus. And I'm sure most of our listeners today are having mediclaims.
Yeah. So what you're seeing is something beyond that.
Beyond that. Absolutely. Because people in the age bracket of probably 30 to 50 who are probably paying some premiums for mediclaims for their parents will see that there are a lot of exclusions when it comes to senior citizens trying to claim from their mediclaims.
Right.
Way ahead, I think 10 years later or 15 years later, this will be more stringent as mediclaim companies try to clean up their books. Mm. So with that happening, having your own corpus is like a totally non-negotiable goal that one should definitely put down on their wish list.
Makes sense. And then retirement, of course.
Retirement, of course, yeah.
But then obviously retirement is something that we will get into in a lot more detail. But just a clip notes, Arvind, if someone was to at this point decide, obviously getting started very early on this leg or on this particular goal is advantageous because of compounding. But having said that, what you would need at retirement is a multiple of your expenses in that particular year when you decide to start saving for retirement.
Yes. I think that multiple, what we have seen, will definitely be at least 20 to 30 times your annual expenses at the point of retirement.
Correct.
So that's a decent, I would say that's a modest multiple. Depending upon one's own standard of living, that multiple could definitely go higher.
Okay. So broadly, if you're saying that somebody who's, say, spending between 30 and 60,000 rupees a month right now, in a base case scenario, how would they look at, building a corpus when they retire? Broadly, how should they calculate it? Back of the envelope?
Simple. Let's take if somebody is spending 60,000 per month today and they're looking to retire in the next 10 years. So one common misconception that people generally start with is they somehow have a vague figure in their mind saying, I think I will require 2 lakhs a month when I retire.
Right.
But the next question that we ask these people is that if today you are spending 60, why do you think you will spend 2 lakhs when you retire? So somehow, somewhere in their mind, they are confused about trying to move 60 to 2 lakhs then. But let's take that on an average, in 10 years, the expenses would kind of grow 1.5 times.
Right.
So if it is 60 now, a 1.5 multiple says it will be worth, I think, 1.5 lakh after 10 years. So let's peg that as what the expenses will be after 10 years.
Right.
So 1.5 lakh is around 18 lakhs per
annum.
Correct.
Multiplied by 20.
Multiplied by at least 20. So it's 4 crores is something that the figure would turn around as the corpus.
And these are, of course, overestimating the requirements that you would probably need. It's always good to set a high target.
That principle
for
always works. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Now, so we've talked about the goals that are absolutely non-negotiable. But when we're talking about, say, for example, children, for a young married couple, they're not thinking of children for the next 3 or 4 years at least, right?
Right.
But it's a good idea, you're saying, to set that priority right from the start and say, maybe 5, maybe 10% of their investment corpus for the month,
yes,
they set aside to, you know, safeguard themselves.
The extremely long-term goals.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. That is important because an early start, people have no clue that an early start really gives a tremendous boost to the overall savings, and it will only lower their burden at a time when they actually require to max out on their savings.
Okay. So now, I want to get into the next step, and this is, unfortunately, where a lot of people start and they go wrong. Okay. They decide on the product first based on things that they've heard in the market, or based on what their friends have come and told them. They've said, you know, I've gotten amazing 25% returns over the last 2 years. You should consider this product.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they're looking at it the other way around. They're supposed to be looking at why they need the money for and how far away that requirement is.
Correct.
And therefore, after that, choosing the kind of product. So as a thumb rule, when you're choosing between equity, when you're choosing between debt, gold, various other instruments available, primarily equity and debt, how do you determine the duration of the goal? So say 5 years and beyond is a long-term goal.
Yeah.
What is a short-term goal? Can you explain that?
Okay, I get it. So precisely, long-term, actually, let me put it this way, that we classify the goals into three. One is what you call it as an annual goal.
Right.
Goals which occur every year.
Okay.
Second is short-term goals. Goals which are going to happen within the next 3 years. Then comes the medium-term goal, which is goals which happen between 3 and 5 years. And long-terms are the ones which happen after 5 years.
Okay.
Now, as an asset class, equity should be allocated to your goal strictly, I would like to use the word strictly, only if your goal is at least 5 years and beyond.
And this is irrespective of whether you are, you know, your risk profile allows you to do equity or not.
If you are referring
that's
to
a secondary,
age
that's
as
a secondary.
A risk profile,
exactly.
Definitely, yes. Whether you are 20, whether you are 40, the five-year principle holds good.
Correct. And we'll get into risk profile at a later date. This is just a pure and simple asset allocation based on goals.
Yes.
And duration of goals.
Yes.
So beyond 5 years is the only goal where you consider equity.
Yes, absolutely. And anything below that, debt or nowadays you have options of an hybrids where you have like a 70% allocation to debt and a little 30% allocation to equity. So you can consider these instruments for goals ranging between 3 to 5 years.
But why do we do that, Arvind? If you can explain, why do we say that below 5 years I can do debt and equity? Because the argument that a lot of people give you is that, you know, I can reach my goal much faster if I choose to do equity over 3 years.
Absolutely. So while that is definitely an ideal scenario, but one has to also consider the flip side of it.
Okay.
While equity has the power to probably give you like 20% returns in 1 year, one should not forget that it also has the potential to deplete your money by 20% in that same year.
Right. Take 2018, for example.
2018, yeah. When things really didn't move, and it was only in the early start of 2019 where markets started moving.
Right.
So visualize a scenario where your goal, you started saving for a goal in 2017 and you knew it was to happen at the end of 18 and you were in equity.
Right.
And in December, when you look at your portfolio to withdraw, you suddenly find, oh, it has not moved anywhere. So this is the problem that we want to avoid, which is why 5 years is like a thumb rule to not look at equity.
Because broadly, we're going by past records here and we're saying that over a 5 year period, broadly, the equity market will iron out any major deviance from the average, right?
It will. And I can take the small liberty here of probably saying that this will even continue in the future.
Right.
Because markets are markets. They will continue to be up and down. Otherwise, there is no dynamism involved in the markets.
Correct. All right. So, Arvind, we've taken our listeners through the broad contours of goal-based investing and the goals that they cannot avoid.
Yep.
And the thumb rules, really.
Yep.
Is there any advice that you would really like to give our listeners at this point as to how they can start?
I think the first golden rule for them to start would be that spend some time. When I say some time, it could be 1 hour to 2 hours or 3 hours in listing down your goals. Because without this, I mean, okay, let me put a question to you, Alex. Have you spent time to list down your goals?
I have. And it's interesting because I wanted to ask this when you said spend some time. If you're a married couple and if you are recently married, is it also advisable that you spend some time speaking to your spouse?
Absolutely. I think you have hit the nail on this question, because many a times people walk up to us individually, and we say, look, this is your family goal. So it is equally important to have your spouse involved.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be gender specific here. It applies both ways.
Which is why I said spouse.
Spouse. So it is important that you and your spouse, sometimes even grown up kids, should be involved in the goal setting process, because it's a family goal. So everybody is going to be benefiting out of this, or maybe deprived out of something if they're not.
Yeah, because sometimes you need to make sacrifices.
Sacrifices. Especially when you come to juggling between goals, because invariably the resources for your goals are limited.
Correct.
So you need to prioritize.
Right.
So when you're prioritizing, many a times you may have your kids not do certain things which they wish to do.
Correct.
And you need to make them understand that, look, this is our wish list. This is what is standing higher. We need to do this first and then we go down here.
All right, Arvind. So we've spoken about the advice that you have to give people to start out with goal-based investing. But I do have a question with regard to long-term goals, just to close out this conversation.
Sure.
Assume here that I have made investments over a period of 8 years. And my goal, say, suppose I have to buy a house in 8 or 9 years' time.
Right.
And I have spent about 7 years investing for that house, for the down payment of that house.
Yeah.
Do I change my strategy as I reach my goal?
I think this is a very, very fundamental question that you're asking. Let us go back to our example of 2017 and 18, which we spoke a couple of minutes back. So consolidation is a rule one has to keep in mind when they're talking about long-term goals. Whenever you are reaching around, depending upon how long your tenure has been. So since you asked me about a 7-year tenure, so after 5 years is when you need to take a breather and look to consolidate your portfolio. Because again, if you were invested heavily in equities for a long-term goal, which is not wrong, but it still does not avoid that situation where in the year of maturity, the markets may be down.
Right.
So you need to iron this out by maybe at least 1 year to 2 years prior. Sometimes if it's about retirement and you have been like doing it for 25 years, we would suggest even 4 years prior to the maturity.
Right.
Take stock, get out of volatility and move into safe instruments, because then you know that, because markets are going to go up and down.
So because assuming that you spend a good 7-8, maybe sometimes even more number of years saving towards a goal, you've got a sizable amount of money.
Yes.
And your small fluctuations in the market make big changes to your portfolio.
Absolutely. And especially when you're reaching closer to the goal.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that more or less covers the topic of goal-based investing. Thank you so much, Arvind, for joining us
on this conversation.
And to you, my listeners, thank you so much for listening to this leg of BQ Big Decisions. I hope that this conversation helped you out. If you have something to tell us about the goals that you've set for yourself or the goals that you plan to set for yourself, do write in to us on any one of our social media platforms. Do stay tuned. There are a lot more conversations that we will have just like this one that we hope will be useful to you. This is Bloomberg Quint.
If you enjoyed Big Decisions, check out some other podcasts on the IVM Podcast Network. You can check out Paisa Vaisa, hosted by Anupam Gupta. Advertising is Dead, hosted by Varun Dugirala. The Ronnie Screwvala Podcast, hosted by Ronnie Screwvala, or Cyrus Says, hosted by Cyrus Procha. These shows are available on the IVM Podcast website, app, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Sachin Tendulkar, Virat Kohli, Don Bradman, and now Cyrus Brocha. Okay, probably not in the right company. I mean, Don Bradman is Australian. But it's called Cyrus Says, a wonderful show about everything. Find the show on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Cyrus Says is brought to you by Storytel. Keep in mind that if you go through storytel.com/IVM, you get a 30-day free trial as against a 14-day free trial on the link. Right? It's very simple. All you got to do is log on to storytel.com/IVM. Millions and millions and millions of stories, many written by me.
Hi, I'm Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And listen in to the Equity Sahiya podcast brought to you by Motilal Oswal Asset Management Company. The Equity Sahiya podcast offers deep investment insights into the potential of many sectors in India which are growing and have a lot to offer for your portfolio. New episodes out every Tuesday on the IVM Podcast app or any other app where you get your podcasts from.